Chapter 46. Outside the Habosphere, the katabatic wind roaring down off the glacier was nothing like the ocean winds Tallon was accustomed to. On the ocean, wind was a function of tides and pressure fronts, and came in gusting ebbs and flows. The katabatic, however, was a slave to simple physics, heavy, cold air rushing down a glacial incline like a tidal wave. It was the most resolute gale force Tallon had ever experienced. Had it been coming at 20 knots, the katabatic would have been a sailor's dream. But at its current 80 knots, it could quickly become a nightmare, even for those on solid ground. Tallon found that if he paused and leaned backward, the stalwart squall could easily prop him up. Making the raging river of air even more unnerving to Tallon was the slight downward grade of the ice shelf. The ice was sloped ever so slightly toward the ocean, 2 miles away. Despite the sharp spikes on the pitbull rapido crampons attached to his boots, Tallon had the uneasy feeling that any misstep might leave him caught up in a gale and sliding down the endless icy slope. Nora Manger's 2-minute course in glacier safety now seemed dangerously inadequate. "Piranha ice axe," Nora had said, fastening a lightweight T-shaped tool to each of their belts as they suited up in the Habosphere. "Standard blade, banana blade, semi-tubular blade, hammer, and adz. All you need to remember is if anyone slips or gets caught up in a gust, grab your axe with one hand on the head and one on the shaft, ram the banana blade into the ice, and fall on it, planting your crampons." With those words of assurance, Nora Manger had affixed yak belay harnesses to each of them. They all donned goggles and headed out into the afternoon darkness. Now the four figures made their way down the glacier in a straight line with 10 yards of belay rope separating each of them. Nora was in the lead position, followed by Corky, then Rachel, and Tallon as anchor. As they moved farther away from the Habosphere, Tallon felt a growing uneasiness. In his inflated suit, although warm, he felt like some kind of uncoordinated space traveler trekking across a distant planet. The moon had disappeared behind thick, billowing storm clouds, plunging the ice sheet into an impenetrable blackness. The katabatic wind seemed to be getting stronger by the minute, applying a constant pressure to Tallon's back. As his eyes strained through his goggles to make out the expansive emptiness around them, he began to perceive a true danger in this place. Redundant NASA safety precautions or not, Tallon was surprised the administrator had been willing to risk 4 lives out here instead of 2. Especially when the additional 2 lives were that of a senator's daughter and a famous astrophysicist. Tallon wasn't surprised to feel a protective concern for Rachel and Corky. As someone who had captained a ship, he was used to feeling responsible for those around him. "Stay behind me," Nora shouted, her voice swallowed by the wind. "Let the sled lead the way." The aluminum sled on which Nora was transporting her testing gear resembled an oversized, flexible flyer. The craft was pre-packed with diagnostic gear and safety accessories she'd been using on the glacier over the past few days. All of her gear, including a battery pack, safety flares, and a powerful front-mounted spotlight, was bound under a secured plastic tarp. Despite the heavy load, the sled glided effortlessly on long, straight runners. Even on the most imperceptible incline, the sled moved downhill on its own accord, and Nora applied a gentle restraint, almost as if allowing the sled to lead the way. Sensing the distance growing between the group and the Habosphere, Tallon looked over his shoulder. Only 50 yards away, the pale curvature of the dome had all but disappeared in the blustery blackness.
"You had all worried about finding our way back?" Tallon yelled. "The Habosphere was almost invisible."
His words were cut short by the loud hiss of a flare igniting in Nora's hand. The sudden red-white glow illuminated the ice shelf in a 10-yard radius all around them. Nora used her heel to dig a small impression in the surface snow, piling up a protective ridge on the upwind side of the hole. Then she rammed the flare into the indentation.
"High-tech breadcrumbs," Nora shouted.
"Breadcrumbs?" Rachel asked, shielding her eyes from the sudden light.
"Hansel and Gretel," Nora shouted. These flares will last an hour. Plenty of time to find our way back.
With that, Nora headed out again, leading them down the glacier, into the darkness once again.